This episode was originally recorded in early 2020.
Why go through the expense of rebranding a website? Because they're looking us up.
Video is one of the most successful ways of actually getting across who you are, what you believe in.
You have to take advantage of technology and speak to these consumer preferences.
Welcome to the Brighthouse Financial Insights Panel Podcast. In these monthly conversations, leading experts share actionable tips and strategies to help financial professionals like you build strong businesses and lasting relationships with clients.
Hello, I'm your host, Stephen Boswell, president of the Oxley Institute, a provider of marketing solutions for financial professionals.
Today, we'll tackle the latest topic in our Next Level Prospecting series, cutting-edge outreach tactics. As a financial professional, you've developed a range of effective ways to connect with new clients. But given all the digital tools now available to us, what new, fresh ideas might help you capture the attention of prospects? Our panel of experts will share their thoughts on how to leverage video, strengthen your content, and target audiences using social media. Joining me today is behavioral finance expert Preet Banerjee, consultant to the wealth management industry, and prospecting expert Mary Beth Kuzmeski, the founder of Red Zone Marketing.
So if you're a financial professional, digital marketing has got to be a bigger part of your game plan today than it was years ago. And this all stems from the consumer. The consumer is using social media more now than ever. Our research shows that 43% of those who are younger than 45 report being on social media for more than an hour a day. 74% of those over 65 log into social media at least once per day. These people are digitally connected in a way they simply were not 10 years ago. Preet, from the client perspective, do they want to interact with their financial professional online, and in what ways?
100%. I think that you have to take advantage of technology and speak to these consumer preferences. So think about the impact on time. We have no time left in our days anymore. It's occupied by screen time. And so a lot of advisors are realizing that, you know, some people take an hour to come to the office for a meeting. The meeting might be an hour. It's an hour to get back home. That's 3 hours for a one-hour meeting. And so more and more financial professionals are engaging with video technology for having remote virtual meetings. I was speaking to a financial professional the other day who just said, you know, this technology is fantastic for the efficiency of my practice because I was able to have a meeting with a couple during the lunch hour when they're at their respective places of employment. That would never have happened before. It would have taken months before we would have had that meeting. So leveraging technology is something that you have to incorporate as a financial professional going forward.
When you're thinking about it from a financial professional to client perspective, video makes a ton of sense. When you're thinking about it from a marketing perspective, video plays a role as well. In what ways have you seen, Mary Beth, advisors embrace video?
Video is one of the most successful ways of actually getting across who you are, what you believe in. I get to know you a little bit different. You're not just your bio, 20 years of experience in the industry. And one thing that prospects are choosing is you. And so video allows them to get to know you a little bit better.
I think when you ask most financial professionals, would video marketing be a good idea? Most of them would say yes, but not everybody gravitates towards it. It can be a little bit scary. The first outings, I can say for some of the video work we've done, are embarrassing. You're not so proud of the first or second or third video you put out. What have you seen with financial professionals doing video pre? How do they get over that hump?
You got to put in the reps. That's what it always comes down to. You just got to put in the reps and know that the first few times it's going to be ugly. But the great thing about recording video is you can take multiple takes. The first time I did video, I shudder just thinking about how that came across the first time I did video. But I hosted a television show, and before we started principal photography, they brought in what they called a host whisperer. And they said, this guy's going to work with you before we start shooting so that, you know, you can be your best self. And one of the best tips that he gave me was this. When you're looking into the lens, think of it as your best friend. Talk to that lens as if it was someone that you're sitting across from so that your natural personality comes across. And if you don't like it, you can retake it, take another shot at it, but try that first. And it's amazing when you try and transform that lens into your best friend or your partner, how you can come across as more authentic and more relatable and more like you. And one big tip that makes a huge difference is hopefully you are going to start using more video, but if you do, make sure you put subtitles on the video. Most of the videos that people watch, they watch it on silent and they scroll through. And if you don't have the subtitles to grab their attention as they're scrolling through, they're less likely to stop and engage with that content. And there's some really interesting ways to use video. Some financial professionals create a video based on timely events. So, for example, the Dow drops 1,000 points. They'll create a short video. It's 2 minutes saying, hey, I saw the news headlines. You probably have some questions. You know you can always call us. Here's my thoughts very quickly. And if you have anyone who has questions too, feel free to share the link to this video. So that's a great way to leverage video, not only to deal with your existing client base, but also as a referral strategy as well. And another really cool technique that has worked really well for me, and I know that a lot of financial professionals ask me about it, because again, our business, our clients are financial professionals. And what we do is anytime someone signs up, we send them a personalized video. And what it does is it tells me right away, oh, John Smith just signed up to your newsletter. So I immediately get a notification. I take my phone, no matter where I am, and immediately I record a message. And I say, hey, John, my name's Preet. I'm the founder of so-and-so. Thanks so much for giving us a try. And because it's personalized and fast, it blows them away.
But Preet, you're probably pretty good on video. So when you can pull up your phone in an airport or someplace else, it's probably going to come across pretty well. I just had a financial professional send me a few of the videos that he had just recorded. The sound was amazing. He's very smart and he's very well spoken. And the content was fantastic. But he was looking up and you would see mostly his neck. You got to practice, practice, practice so that your video is your best self, not your worst self.
When you look at the why here, because video can be uncomfortable, video can be tedious, there's production involved, there's scripting involved, why go through it? To us, it comes back to the research where we recently uncovered that those under the age of 45 are more likely to start their search for a financial professional online than they are to ask friends and family for recommendations, which I've been a part of this research for 15 years. It's never been close. So that to me is a seismic shift in the way people go about finding financial professionals, especially if they're part of the younger generation. So when you think about why video, why go through the expense of rebranding a website or having a robust Facebook presence? Because they're looking us up. So far, we've talked a lot about what to do when people are finding you, how to make yourself more findable online. But what if we want to play offense? What if we want to be proactive? Facebook, to me, has to be a big part of the equation because when you look at the usage statistics, more than half of investors said Facebook was their network of choice, followed by LinkedIn and some of the other networks. Mary Beth, when you think about running effective advertising campaigns, what comes to mind?
Well, I think if a financial professional really wants to get into using social media, the first question they need to ask is, where are my prospects? The question isn't, where is everybody? The question is, where are my prospects? And if my prospects are on LinkedIn, then I need to be on LinkedIn. So who's on LinkedIn? Well, typically those that are still working are on LinkedIn. Executives are on LinkedIn. There's a lot of retirees who are on Facebook, but they're not necessarily on LinkedIn anymore. You have to find out where your prospects are in order to make any kind of advertisement or content marketing on the social media platforms. And if you're going to do an advertisement, you better have a call to action, something that really drives people. Drives who? Drives that particular target market to say, maybe it's an event, maybe it's a seminar, maybe it's a download of some kind of a really interesting report, maybe it's to watch a video, but there has to be some interesting call to action. It can't be just check out my website. Not going to be effective enough.
So when you look at social media in general, you would say know your audience, know where your prospects are active, and also know what your objectives are. And I think sometimes as an industry, we want the immediate gratification of leads in the door. And we're thinking about how can we build this elaborate funnel where I can put $4 in the top and get $8 in the bottom, and it's never that simple. And sometimes we overlook the softer, quote-unquote, objectives, like awareness, to where for a much smaller amount of money, I can make certain that anybody in a certain zip code who has money, who is of a certain occupation, knows exactly who I am and what I represent. That's really powerful and within all of our controls. Mary Beth, what's the benefit of learning about your clients through social media?
Well, there's never been an opportunity like there is today to gather intelligence on our prospects, where they went to college, what their major was, what their affinity interests are, what are the things that they are focused on in their business. We can find out all of these things about people that we never, ever could have found out about 15 years ago. If we really want to make that connection with the prospect, gathering that intelligence is the one and the very best way to do that.
And one thing that you can do is follow hashtags where a lot of people will congregate, not just your clients, but also other people that you want to target as well.
And LinkedIn Sales Navigator is an incredible tool to find out all sorts of information. It is a paid tool within LinkedIn, but it is a paid tool that allows you to dig deep into finding people and then finding out about them.
When we think about social media and where you're at right now as a financial professional, you might hear some of these conversations around video marketing or Facebook advertising or YouTube presence and think, I can't do that. Compliance gets in the way of everything. But we've worked with so many different firms of financial professionals out there, and you see early adopters and front runners in the digital marketing space at every firm. Even if they can only use LinkedIn, LinkedIn's a powerful tool. They can use LinkedIn and Facebook, great. They can use all the above, we love it. But don't focus so much on what you can't do. Let's focus on what's within our control. Thanks again so much to Preet and Mary Beth for their insights. And make sure to join us for the next episode where we explore ways to build a referrals pipeline to help keep your business thriving. Stay ahead of the curve with the Insights panel from Brighthouse Financial. This information is brought to you courtesy of Brighthouse Financial Incorporated, which provides, through its affiliates, annuities and life insurance products issued by Brighthouse Life Insurance Company, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28277, and in New York only by Brighthouse Life Insurance Company of New York, New York, 10017. The opinions expressed are those of the speakers, and the information presented is for educational purposes only. Speakers were compensated for their participation as subject matter experts, for professional use only, not for public distribution. In these podcasts, the terms advisor and financial advisor are used as general references to licensed insurance professionals and are not intended to indicate whether the licensed insurance professional is a registered investment advisor or is otherwise authorized under the law to provide financial advice. Brighthouse Financial Incorporated is not affiliated with nor endorses any businesses or organizations that appear in this material. Research cited within this podcast includes the Oxley Institute Affluent Investor Research, August 2019.